At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, this is Radio God Mike O'Mara. Perhaps you remember me from my career in terrestrial broadcasting, which eventually came to an unnecessary and abrupt stop. However, I'm not here to blame anyone. That said, I finally come to terms with Chad Dukes stealing my job. It only took a decade and several therapy sessions and a myriad of pills and alcohol. It's fine. No, really, it's fine. So now, with a heart full of forgiveness and maybe a little Irish whiskey, I can proudly say, go to the Chad Dukes Show Holiday Hoot Nanny. Hoot Nanny. Odd word. Unrewarding. Meaningless. Well, the Hoot Nanny is happening December 6th at the Old Shebeen. Or is it the Auld Shebeen? Or is it the Auld Shebeen? Rob won't be there because he'll be organizing his sobriety tokens. Plus, he's a jerk. And I personally won't let Josh attend because someone has to stay home and monitor the TMOS servers with a meat thermometer. But don't worry, Jim Jester will be there, probably duct taping wires together and pretending he knows what an XLR cable is. He doesn't, by the way. How can a man named Jester be so unfunny? Ironic, don't you think? Anywho, it'll be a holiday miracle if everything works. But hey, that's part of the charm. Go, laugh, drink. Just don't tell Chad I said anything nice. He won't believe you anyway. December 6th at the Auld Shebeen. Have a blessed hootenanny.
Thank you, Mike. This is historical footnote Rob Spiewak with this timely reminder. Hootenanny tickets go on sale August 2nd at Commonwealth Dry Goods. I will not be there as my hootenanny days are behind me, but I wish you all the best. And Gary Krimble.
Afternoon, everybody.
Ripping the poops
every day and every night. It is the Chad Dukes Show Poor Edition. This is your Free Friday episode. Doing something a little different this week. Joe Azerb's been doing a good job working with Jester, working with Josh Stroka, putting together some clip shows. We don't use the word clips around here. They're beautiful segments culled from years of broadcasting professionalism. Dick jokes. That's what I do. We're going to take a break. We're going to give you a big, fresh, brand new episode that was recorded the day of, and it is going to be gratis. That's right. You like what you hear? Bare minimum, you could go on over to wherever you found the goddamn thing, the podcast, that is, and leave a 5-star review. Only takes a couple minutes. And if you really like what you hear, then you can go over to ChadDukeShow.com, plunk down a goddamn credit card, and get yourself one of these each and every day during the week. We don't do a lot of politics. We don't do a lot of COVID. We don't do a lot of what? We might talk about some dildos today, maybe. Maybe some WNBA vintage dildos. I've never talked about the WNBA in my life. You've never heard the names Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese, or they don't come out of my mouth because I don't pretend to be interested to further a political argument. I don't watch. But if there's plastic dicks flying, it's possible that the Shootster may have to open up his trap. But anyway, we try to keep it light, talk some movies, we get drunk. ChadDukeShow.com is the website if you would like to find an episode in your fucking phone Monday through Thursday. D, and might I say, they're thicker than what I promise you. T-H-I-C-C-C-C-C-C-C. What to do? Well, today I'd like to discuss Caleb Williams at some point. I know not all of you are football fans, but it's almost football season, and we call that the promised land round. These parts, I'd like to have my Sundays mean something again. at this point, what I'm doing is I'm waking up and having diarrhea until it's time to start drinking again. And that's no way to live life. Give me a reason to have diarrhea and start drinking again. And that reason is foosball. And I'm excited. But body language, man, it's so important. It's so important when you're trying to pick up chicks, when you're trying to apply for a job, when you enter a room. And if you're an NFL quarterback, it's more important than you even know. We got a lantern fly update. This show is primarily about lantern flies, for those of you that may be new to it. So buckle up. I hope you're into the discussion of the spotted lantern fly and the panic that it causes me. And on top of that, I come from a white trash redneck background. I'm very suburban, but I got redneck roots coming from my father's side. I'm about my father's business. There's something that I like to do in my personal life that my wife has questioned a couple of times recently. And she makes some valid points. Generally, they don't. And you know who I mean by they. Generally, they don't. But we do accept Super Chats because we're doing this for free. And it's not behind any type of a paywall. So thank you to everybody that's here at the like button. If you are in the chat, and thank you to Officer Tom Friendly for the 1999 Orange Boy.
I'm butt sliced.
Orange Boy Mafia, I'm here for the Bears talk. Well, I don't even really know. I mean, look, the Bears are one of the more interesting teams that I'm going to be watching this season, Officer Tom Friendly, because, you know, their head coach is interesting. The quarterback is interesting. They've got a lot of talent, and they underperformed last year. And I just think that the NFL is better when the Chicago Bears are good. I think that they're one of those franchises that the entire league benefits when they get their shit together. And they can't get their shit together. And they can't get their shit together at the most important position of them all. And now you're looking at a league where there's even more pressure on that franchise. Not because of J.J. McCarthy, or not because of Jared Goff, or not because of Jordan Love, or anything that's happening inside of their own division, but because Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback than Caleb Williams right now. I think you could argue that Bo Nix is a better quarterback than Caleb Williams right now. Who do we believe has got a bigger upside, Drake May or Caleb Williams? And I think when you're already having, I mean, we all remember the quotes before last season about how many points they were going to score. But I think a lot of the things that we were questioning Caleb Williams about going into this year don't necessarily have anything to do with his physical traits, but it's kind of the way he carries himself. And so that's why it's a more interesting conversation than just, hey, Bears are going to win 7 games. They ain't going to be a wild card team. DC Sportsmark says that Caleb Williams is rated 75 overall on Madden. I mean, why wouldn't he? But I root for the Bears. I got family in Chicago, so I root for that team. I watched the Cubs on WGN growing up, like we all did. I wasn't even a baseball fan, but I was a Cubs fan because, Jesus Christ, it was the entire summer. There was a Cubs game on for the entire summer on the television. God knows we weren't paying for anything more than basic cable. Quickly, before we start the program today, I have to remind you all, you have a very unique opportunity. First and foremost, you can cover up that hellacious bald spot. I mean, really embarrassing. When your bald spot burns, and then even worse, your bald spot starts to peel. You're flecking skin so people can't tell if it's dandruff or it's dead skin from your bald spot. You got to stop that. Now, luckily, I've got a full head of hair. Now, I got these man tits and these love handles and these stretch marks. So maybe you'd like to trade. I would give up the hair to get rid of those things, but maybe you wouldn't. Either way, cover that mess up. We have your Chad Duke Show official fish hat, rope hat, for the summer. Absolutely fantastic hat, the finest one we've ever done. Not only that, our CD exclusive episode, Hot Men Shed, Welcome to Glen Burnie. You will not find this online. You will not find this on the internet. You'll not find this on YouTube. You'll not even find this on your MP3 player. Look in your sidekick, your T-Mobile sidekick. It's not saved under the files. No, this is encased in plastic like we used to do. It is a CD exclusive podcast. And the topic of that podcast was, we went up to my producer Jim Jester's house, and he had a shed in his backyard. There was more rust than it was shed, filled with rat feces. Live electricity running from this thing. His parents inside dying of COVID. I mean, you've never even thought of a broadcasting experience as unique as the one that we did to record this episode. And the premise of the episode was that Jim was supposed to try. He's a 400-pound guy. He's had a heart attack. He's eating himself to death. We can't wait for it to happen. The premise is that he was supposed to take this shed down 3, 4, 5 years ago in his parents' backyard. And we said, you're going to finally do it. And we provided weapons. We provided bludgeons, cudgels, mauls. And then we set up a tent and recorded in his backyard and called play-by-play as he did it. What we didn't know was that lantern flies had completely taken over the backyard. Now, I've been told from other residents of the city of Glen Burnie that lantern flies are not the plague that they were that day in Jim Jester's backyard. That you guys actually take better care of the town, hard to believe, than Jimmy does his backyard. But we had thousands of lantern flies landing on everything. People brought pizza, people brought donuts, people brought Italian subs. None of that should have been brought. I don't know why everybody brings enough food for a Marine battalion every time I do a podcast, but that's what they do. And to this day, if a feather tickles my ear, or God forbid, a mosquito lands on my leg, I think it's one of these big dopey fucking lantern flies because we were beset upon them while we were recording Hot Men Shed. The point being, it's downright insulting if you don't pick yourself up a copy of this album. A lot of work went into it, a lot of petrol. Had to drive all, I burned an entire fucking Sunday taping this piece of shit. So the least you can do is fork over a 20 and listen to this show. You will never hear another show like it in the history of audio medium. I take my oath on that. So go to CommonwealthDryGoods.com, stop fucking around, pick up both, grab yourself a Moray Neal sugar-free energy drink, peruse the aisles, all types of fun stuff over there. Go support small businesses. You're supporting two small businesses, but you get the gist. All right. So with that in mind, the motherfucking lantern flies. I don't want every show I do to be about lantern flies, but it's very difficult after the events that transpired yesterday. So that leads me to this. Well, first and foremost, we do accept Super Chats on this show. DC Sports Mark, thank you for the $4.99. Do you think 85 overall for Jaden Daniels and Madden is too low? No, it's only too low to Kool-Aid drinking Commanders fans. No, that's perfectly fine. Where do you want him to be? You want him to be above Allen and Jackson and Mahomes and Burrow? He ain't. He ain't. He's top 10. Like, I don't have the top 10 list in front of me, but I just love working yourself up into righteous indignation over Madden, right? Who gives a fuck what Madden football thinks of your team? Who gives a shit? I mean, really, you're a borderline retarded if you spend a lot of time thinking about Madden ratings in relation to football. I'm sorry. I know Ja'Marr Chase was wearing his 99 around his neck. It's just a different culture. I don't give a fuck what any player has in Madden. I never have. Them arguing and bickering about it always came across to me as false. You're manufacturing reasons to have moral outrage. And actual football fans that put any stock and credence into it, good luck. Good luck. I've never seen a Madden rating win a football game. DC Sports Mark, I don't care what their ratings are. I think less of you than you do. Thank you for the $4.99. I know that's a really hot take, that what the fictional football players in the fictional video game, what they're rated has something to do with their worth out on the real football field. But I feel like I'm taking fucking crazy pills anytime anyone brings that shit up. It really started to foster and foment right at the end of my Redidio career. I feel like that's when everybody was really starting to get vested in the Madden numbers. And I'm like, this isn't a topic. We're not talking about this. It was like the name change. It became something where it's like, okay, how lazy and dumb do we all want to be? Because I could take phone calls from now until the end of time about whether or not the Redskins should change their name to the Warriors. It doesn't mean I'm going to do it. I'm not the smartest man in the room, but I'm not Fredo either. We're going to try to do a little better than that, and that's why we talk about lantern flies on this show. Hit the like button. Okay. So, on Thursday, it's a big day for the Shootster, big day. We got big plans, meeting with heavy hitters, meeting with big movers and shakers inside this industry and other industries. You know me. You know how I earn a living? I was getting out there, and I was fucking hobnobbing and rubbing elbows with the biggest and the smartest and the best and the brightest. At a meeting at Fairwinds Brewing on Thursday with just some top-notch fucking top-G swinging dick motherfuckers. I'm talking about Charlie from Fairwinds. Charlie Brews, I had business with Charlie. I'm talking about Mike from Don't Sleep Energy Drink, don'tsleepenergy.com. I'm talking about Wingsman OBX, titans of the industry. And of course, Brian from Natural Red Catering. I am a mover and a shaker, and you owe me respect. Went out to Fairwinds, always a great time. Had some Natural Red barbecue, had a few of the last few Atlantico Amigos, my own personal beer. And we were talking about the future and about things we'd like to do in the future and bouncing ideas, and it was very productive. Was out there long enough where it's getting towards closing time at Commonwealth Dry Goods. That's where my blushing works. And I called up and I said, what are you doing? I said, we're headed back from Fairwinds, and Ant-Man and I want to, we're going to grab a drink at the Old Shabeen, at the Ali Shabibi, my favorite halal Irish pub in Fairfax, Virginia. Why don't you meet us out? So we all head over to the pub, and there's two things I need to tell you about here. One, we're doing a live show. I think it's December 6th. I'm not sure, you might want to check that out. The Holiday Hootenanny. Tickets are available now at CommonwealthDryGoods.com. There's a space downstairs where we're doing that show. There's a big stage. There's a bar. I've done many live shows down there, done a Harp and Eagle concert. None of y'all know nothing about that. Ponytails and Cocktails concert. No, none of y'all know nothing about that. Probably a good thing. This will be the first live show that I've done down there. And we're sitting at the bar with a Cuban cigar, talking with the people that work there, and big crowd. It's a big crowd in the bar on a Thursday, early Thursday evening. And I said, hey, Mazel Tov, you guys are fucking humming over here. And the bartender says, yeah, that's because there's a sea shanty concert that's going to happen in the basement tonight. And I said, what? What? Apparently, the first Thursday of every month, there's a group of crazy people that dress up like sailors in the 1800s, and they go down into the basement, and they sing sea shanties. And I stopped for a second, and I said, wow, that's wild. I didn't know that was a thing. And most of you probably know I've been bitten by the nautical bug. I love the beach. I'm the proprietor of a maritime book club. I said, how did this evade my gaze? And then I start looking around the fucking bar, and 100% of everybody there is there to go downstairs and sing sea shanties, to the extent that motherfuckers are warming up. There was a group of Indian dudes, had to be in their mid-20s, fucking ripping Barrett's privateers, right to our left. I didn't pick up on it. I got the street sense of fucking hermit crab. Looking around, there's dudes, they got the Hulk Hogan, they got the bald, there's so many guys with the bald head and the ponytail coming down in the back, wearing shirts with tall ships. They've got binders filled with shit. And I'm not kidding you, man. I guess the shit pops off at 8 because the bar emptied out. Everybody went downstairs. And then you hear the... You hear it coming up through the fucking floor. I couldn't believe it. And my wife was there. She came down the stairs. Her face was split. My wife and Ant-Man are like, well, we got to go down there. We got to go check it out. Dukes, this is right up. They call me Dukes. Dukes, this is right up your alley. And I said, are you out of your fucking mind? We can't go down there. We don't know what we're walking into. They call me a coward, pussy. Why don't you go hide in the bathroom, needle dick? Needle dick the butt fucker. That's what they started calling me at the bar, my hand. And I said, I'm not walking down there. Here's what's going to happen. You haven't been to the Old Sabine, you don't know the setup. Because right now, a lot of you are calling me the same pejoratives. I can fucking feel your judgment. You walk down this spiral staircase, right? Very thin. And then it opens up into the rest of the room. But everybody down there watches that staircase to see who's walking down. And I said, here's what's going to happen. You guys are going to go down that staircase. You have no idea what the setup is. They're going to think you're there to sing. Oh, you're full of shit. We're just going to get some beers. We're going to go down there and walk. I thought you liked this type of shit. You're always reading all these books. I'm not doing it. Call me whatever you want to call me. I ain't doing it. So I beat cheeks. I break out. You know, I had to split. I wasn't going to be a part of this. And I said, you guys have a good time. I'm going to go home and walk the dog. 5 minutes later, I haven't even gotten to the truck yet. I start getting the texts and the videos. What do you think happened? They walk down the stairs. There's a lady dressed like Martha Washington. She handed them lyric seats and put them in the seat right up front. Right up front! It's too much, man. It's too much. Of course I was right. I'm always right. Sure, they're all very nice people. Seems like a nice thing to do. But I saw some of the pictures. I saw some of the videos. It's very intimidating. But I told you that story to tell you this one. Go over to my truck. Go back into the 7 goddamn 11. I said, somebody spilled maple syrup in my coffee. Get in my truck. Start driving. It's a nice night. I live close to the store. So I open down the roll down the windows. Start cranking. I got hand crank windows. I actually paid extra for them on all 4 windows. So it takes a lot of flexibility on my behalf. Pulling all the windows down. Pop the back one, sliding window if you don't have a pickup truck. Got the moon roof. Open that up. Within 10 seconds of that happening, I'm sitting at a red light. And for those of you that aren't watching on YouTube, if you're listening to this, you're just going to have to enjoy my descriptive powers. A fucking gigantic lantern fly lands on the dashboard. Biggest one I've ever seen. And if you haven't encountered lantern flies, they got these 2 front legs that look like number 7s. And I don't know why they're so goddamn intimidating, but they are. Now, I've never had a lantern fly bite me. I don't even know if they're capable. But for whatever reason, they have a uniquely disturbing presence. And I'm driving the truck, and this lantern fly lands provocatively close to me on the dashboard. And I took this as an open act of hostility. So I take a swing at it. I miss it. And now I realize the light's changing. I've got to drive the truck. So for the remainder of my commute, I'm locked in this duel. I feel like it's Steven Spielberg's first movie. And this motherfucker's driving an 18-wheeler, trying to run me off the road. I've got to keep my eye locked on the road and another eye locked on the lantern fly. It starts crawling up the side of the windshield. And by the time I get to my neighborhood, I can brook no more of this motherfucker's nonsense because it's now crawling across the border. The top of the windshield, it's crawling across towards me. And I don't care what type of pussy you think I am for leaving the C-Santy show. I'll argue with you about that. I'm not going to argue with you about being a pussy regarding a lantern fly coming at me. I don't want it. I'm traumatized because of the aforementioned CD recording that we did. It's not something I want to experience ever again. This motherfucker is headed right towards me. So I yank over on the side of the road. I don't even wait to get into my neighborhood. I throw the flashers on. And I got a towel on the floor that I keep for when Rip Dips, Ellen Ripley Dukes, the long, sleek black rat that I call a dog. I like to put it up on the dash because she has a tendency to drool. Pick up the towel and I swat this motherfucker. Smashes up against the window sill, but is still inside the truck. And I'm like, you tenacious bastard. It's like one of the killers at the end of Scream. Swat him again. Guts go everywhere. And then I've got to fucking get out of my truck and walk around because I'm not going to risk this thing Frankensteining on me while I'm still driving. And I kick it out the side of the door. I'm not in the habit of going online and talking about my cowardice. But here's what I can tell you. I know for a fact that I'm going to be traumatized by these fucking things until we get a hold of them. My exposure to them was that of Batman's. When you think about it, how did Batman become Batman? His parents get killed. He's running through the woods. He falls into a cave. And there's a billion bats everywhere. Now, I doubt I can be a vigilante. Too fat. Probably too old. But I need to figure out a way to mobilize this traumatic saturation to these beasts and turn it into something positive. And maybe it can be their demise, their death. Lantern flies. I didn't know they existed 2 months ago. And now anyone that subscribes to my show, this is not a great gleaming endorsement, you can fucking attest to, it's an enormous part of the conversations that we have. Too much. So we got to figure out a way to get rid of them. One of the problems is they don't seem to have many natural predators. Birds don't know they can eat them. They're just gradually getting down here to the DC area. They're an invasive species. They're not native to us. They leave this sticky shit all over all the plants they're on. Ends up harming the plants. That and they're fucking weird. I can put up with cicadas because cicadas know their place. Cicadas know, all right, it's been 15 years. Let's go ruin this summer. But I know by the end of August, like, all right, pack it up, dickheads. Your time is done. Your time is up. My time is now. So I pulled it up. I've been monitoring the feeds. I've been monitoring the lantern fly news line. Whatever you want to call that. I think it's called the Daily Wire. I just came up with that. I've been monitoring it every time I go to YouTube. I type in Lanternfly News, Virginia. And this came up this week. And I think I'm never going to be the Lanternfly man like Batman is the Batman. But I do think I can use a similar experience towards good. And I think we may have our first step on how we're going to beat these things. Okay. This is a story about how lantern flies have been poisoned. You know how, like, we got attacked by the Japanese? Pearl Harbor, we got drawn into the conflict. Like, they're attacking us. They finally done something that drew us into the conflict, right? The Gulf of Tonkin. We have all these examples, whether they're false flags or they're actually things that happen. It's like, all right, you need to draw this powerful entity into the war. Like, we got to go during the Revolutionary War. We have to explain to the French, it's like, hey, it's in your best interest to help us whip up on the fucking lobster backs over here, right? I saw Rambo 3. We got to give the Taliban Rambo so he can shoot down the Hind, the John Hind. This all makes sense. You can see I'm a military historian. I know what I talk about and what I speak. So this is from WUSA Channel 9, because that's where we all go for news in 2025, local news channels. And I think we have finally figured out a way to draw the most powerful group of people in the United States of America into the fight against these accursed lantern flies. So let's get the deets.
Smart this week by continuing the conversation about these pesky pests, those spotted lantern flies. I'm sure you've seen them by now. Specifically, we're going to talk about how they are threatening a DMV treasure, Virginia Vineyards. Meteorologist Caitlin McGrath shows us what this means for local businesses. Caitlin.
Yeah, that's right. So spotted lantern flies have good taste. They love sugary grapes. So I went to Zephaniah Farm Vineyard in Leesburg, an incredible family-owned farm with a rich history.
A vineyard in Leesburg. Maybe some of you that are smarter than others can figure out that I'm telegraphing my plays a little bit here. They went to a vineyard in Leesburg because it is under threat from the lantern flies. Huh. Interesting.
Learn about how they're battling these bugs.
This is our first season where we've had them persistent throughout the growing season.
Tremaine Hatch is a third generation farmer and
Tremaine Hatch. I'm sure that's his Christian name.
Culturist, an agricultural expert specializing in the cultivation of grapes for winemaking.
Grapes are really high sugar plants. That's why we make wine out of them. So they're really appealing to the spotted lanternfly.
They act like vampires and suck the sap from the vines, which ultimately helps the farmers locate them in the vineyard.
The insects themselves are pretty hard to see, but they do release this honeydew that leaves a little bit of a sheen on the leaves that's easier for me to see. If there's enough of them feeding on a single grapevine, they could weaken that grapevine so it succumbs to injury during the winter or something like that.
They're not even saying the lantern flies kill the grapevines. They're saying that if enough lantern flies feed on a grapevine, it could potentially succumb to its injuries during the winter. It's like if your running back, your star running back, goes to Malibu during the winter and plays in a pickup beach football game.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
He could succumb to his injuries. You got to write something into the contract against that.
Thankfully, they haven't seen anywhere near that magnitude of...
These things aren't exactly Mothra, are they?
Spotted lantern flies here at Zephaniah, and this is a vineyard that has seen a higher population of spotted lantern flies in the area. Tremaine consults for around a dozen vineyards in Northern Virginia, and he says the best thing farmers can do is be proactive, specifically by removing Tree of Heaven, a common tree seen around the D.C. region, which also happens to be an invasive species, just like the spotted lantern fly.
For them to come.
This is good intel. I actually didn't know that. I'm actually making a note of that right now on my notepad to call my fucking landscaper and ask him, do you see any trees of heaven within 50 miles? Because I'll pay to bail you out of jail when you just start chopping them down. Let me do the talking to my neighbors when they find you in their back. They find you in their backyard at 2 o'clock in the morning with a chainsaw.
Complete an entire life cycle. They really need to feed on Tree of Heaven at some point during the year. So if we can remove Tree of Heaven adjacent to the vineyard, hopefully we have a lower population here, which is what we're shooting for.
They also work with Loudoun County on a program called Scrape the Grape.
Listen, I don't necessarily buy into white privilege. I'm not a guy that thinks that we should go around and be ashamed of our opulence as Americans, but think about how great this fucking country is. Think about how wonderful and bereft of problems we really are when we have Operation Scrape the Grape. We got enough people that care about this cause where they go out and clean the grapes off the vineyards to make sure the lantern flies don't find them as sexy. Keep protesting. Keep calling everybody fascist. Keep pretending like America isn't the best. Scrape the grape. Can you fucking imagine? Other countries have scrape our residents off the fucking streets because they've been hit by rockets, or they've been attacked and stampeded by elephants, or a hippopotamus came through and destroyed them, or insurgents launched napalm. Holy shit. Scrape the grape. Suck my dick. Suck my dick. If you're saying that fucking throwing green dildos onto the court of the WNBA is a hate crime, I don't want to fucking hear it. We live in a country with scrape the grape. We've never had it so good. We've never been so lucky. You've never been so lucky. Oh. So as soon as I heard scrape the grape, I'm like, oh, God bless Los Estados Unidos. All right, let me hear that again.
Adjacent to the vineyard, hopefully we have a lower population here, which is what we're shooting for.
They also work with Loudoun County on a program called Scrape the Grape.
Hell yeah.
During the winter, we had volunteers removing egg masses.
Volunteers! From
the so we're trying to do as much proactive work as possible.
The vineyards have volunteers removing egg masses? Volunteers suggest nobody's getting paid. Is the wine free? Do I get drunk? Do I at least get a buzz for free?
So we don't have a bad consequence in the vineyard.
And for more information on how you can help keep the spotted lanternfly population at bay, just visit our WUSA9 app or WUSA9.com and search
Good advice.
Garden Smart.
Those spotted lanternflies are everywhere this year.
And you just asked a good question as to why, and it's just because they've been around the area for a little bit longer, so they're reproducing more and more each year, so that's why we're starting to see more.
So they just like it here, huh?
They
like
do.
You can call this home.
They do, but now they have natural predators, so hopefully in a few years their population will be.
All right, somebody look that up for me. I haven't heard that they actually, the natural predators are starting to eat them now. I've seen one picture of one cardinal that's been floating around the internet in a meme eating half a lantern fly, and that's it. Now you say, Dukes, that's a long way to go. What is this all-powerful entity that you're talking about that's going to help us stomp out the lantern fly? Jason, I knew you were going to say that. You've seen the same meme that I have. I'm not shitting on you. I appreciate you being in the chat. But we've all seen the one picture. Show me a picture of a praying mantis eating a lantern fly. I will be very grateful for that. Show me a picture of a squirrel. I don't even see them in spider webs. Like, we've got spider webs all over the place out here in Oakton. I've never seen a lantern fly in a spider web. They're unwieldy. All right, so how do we get rid of them? What is the most popular group of people in this area? Maybe in the entire country. Privileged, stay-at-home soccer moms. The ones with the letterhead. The ones that try to get everybody canceled. The ones that are offended by video games. The ones that are offended by hip-hop. The ones that are offended by any type of a conservative ideology. The ones that get it done. The ones that march. Pussy hat motherfuckers. We all know who I'm talking about. Million Woman March. What are we marching about? These things are fucking with the vineyards in Leesburg. Anybody that lives in the Northern Virginia area can attest to the fact that there is no crazier group of people on God's green earth than Major Bill Smith. There's no crazier group of people on God's green earth with more resources and more time than Loudoun County wine moms. This is the most powerful fucking group we've ever known. If we start fucking with their lifeblood, and I'm not saying we need to go into false flag territory, but maybe it's time for some of us with dangly bits that want to get rid of these lantern flies to go out there and set them up a little. Oh, look at this scourge, this crop of lantern flies. They've destroyed all of the Gewurztraminer you're going to have for the next calendar year. All the white grapes have been put to the antenna. We must, I guarantee we would have a poison that worked. We'd have a plan. We'd never see one again. The resources, the cuckolded husbands that these women control and wield. Let's turn them. Use them for good. Yoke their strength. Hired thugs. Like the sheriff of Nottingham when he went and got the Celts to attack Azim and Robin and Will Scarlet and Sherwood Forest. To the trees! You guys all remember? Why do they call you bulls? Because you're short? Nope. It's because all so long. You guys don't do Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves shtick around here?
Jeez.
Tough crowd, Colin Quinn. We get these ladies that have all of this power to decide that lanternflies are threatening their life's blood. We got a maid in the Shade Escalade. Do all the work themselves. That technology exists. You know all the conspiracy theorists out there, like if there wasn't so much money in treating cancer, we'd already have a cure for cancer. We could do it with the lanternflies. We have an opportunity here. We just all need, those of us that are aware, woke enough. We are woke enough to the problem to realize what needs to be done. And this scourge could be behind us. Corey Reed at $9.99. We do accept super chats on this channel, unlike other YouTube channels. And you know how I feel about super chats, Corey.
I just want to say, I get butt-sized.
Thank you for the $9.99 afternoon shoot. Afternoon, Corey. How was the drunken, sun-drenched fucking Nationals day game yesterday? If you were happy, I'm happy, but holy shit. I'd rather piss fucking glass. Let me tell you something about Evan from Evan and Sarah. He's going to remain sober for approximately 0.5 seconds while you're with him. Then he's going to be fun drunk for about 32 minutes. And then it's going to be blind, stinking, sweating, red-faced insanity. Alcohol-fueled whoop-ass for the rest. And I saw you throw yourself into the middle of that via social media. Thank you for being here. Hit the like button. I demand it. Yeah, so these things have taken over my life and not for the better. Did want to address this. This is the audio is from the NFL on NBC. Talked about this earlier in the show. And again, not necessarily going to do a bunch of Bears talk, but I think the topic that can be derived from this story is always an interesting conversation to have. And that is the role of leadership. So again, NFL on NBC, giving full credit for this. And if you're listening on the iTunes feed or Spotify feed, please leave a 5-star review. But what they're going to start here with is the Bears quarterbacks are doing a little drill and they're throwing footballs and Caleb Williams does very poorly. And instead of just moving on with his day, he throws his arms up in the air. He storms away from the drill. He appears to be quite exasperated. And this is in front of what appears to be a very large crowd of Bears fans. And if you say, Dukes, I hate this term, but this feels like a nothing burger. Well, of course it is. If they were playing football on Sunday, we probably wouldn't be talking about this. But they ain't, so we are. And he's a former first overall pick who had some body language issues last season. Let's see what's going on here and see what we make of it.
Caleb Williams from earlier in the week, after he had missed the net multiple times, there it is, missed the net, and one more time. And I've been there and done that at pretty much every carnival game I've ever played in my life. Here he is, because he got criticized for the reaction. Here he is explaining the drill and his reaction when he went 0-for-3.
So it's a quick deliver drill. So you catch it, you know, you're not, you know, trying to get the laces or anything. It's not like you're going through.
First of all, if you're listening to this and you're not watching, you won't appreciate this. But Jesus Christ, Caleb Williams, save some of the handsome for the rest of us. Did he get a haircut or something? Look at this Moco William Riker looking motherfucker. This is a handsome lad. I don't remember him being so dreamy last season, but I digress.
Reads, and it's just catch, deliver, and try and deliver to the bottom left corner. And we're trying to aim as if it's a screen. And so, it's a competition between us and the guys. And so how fast you can get it out, how accurate you can get it out. And, they just so happen to blow that one up and not any other one. So that's
referring to the media there. And of course, it's true. That's the clip that everybody, first of all, why would anyone talk about any of the other clips? You're not freaking out and waving your arms over your head and stalking away from your teammates. So here's something that it's difficult to do, but I always think it's the right move. When you start blaming the media, even if they're in the wrong, which a lot of times they are, and even if they're not in the wrong, they're assholes. I don't know how many of you listen to my sports talk show, but one of the things I always said is the second you start blaming the refs is the second you admit you're a loser, even if the refs are wrong. Blaming the refs, blaming the conditions, blaming the fans, blaming the stadium, the turf, any of that shit. It's just not, winners don't, they don't do that. When it's egregious, I kind of understand. Especially with as poor as the officials have been in the NFL the past couple of years. But as far as a fan base, when you start going down that road of blaming other things other than what you can control, here's what you can control in life. You. And how you prepare. That's it. That comes driving safe, having kids, if you should, taking care of pets. Do you know how many people that own dogs shouldn't own dogs? I know about 10 of them. Because they don't want to do it. They want all the fun stuff. They want all the giggly poo shit. They want to post about it on Instagram. But they don't want to do, they don't understand that disciplining the dog is not only good for you, but it's good for the dog and then everybody else around you. When I walk my dog at night, there's two or three people I see, and I realize if that dog gets off the leash, there's going to be a huge problem because these people are walking this dog at night because they can't walk it during the daytime because it's too crazy. I got two or three people like that in my neighborhood. I see them coming, I go the other way. And maybe you say, well, you shouldn't have to. You're right. But it's part of what I'm talking about here. So long way to go to say that the way he starts this, as winning as that smile is, I got to say. I know American Eagle has Sydney Sweeney, and I'm all for that fantastic ad campaign, but a shirtless, smiling Caleb Williams, huh? Come on. There's a women out there that want to buy clothes, too. They want to buy overpriced jeans, not just the duders. Anyhoot. Small matter, but I did notice that in his response to this.
Competition between us and the guys, and so how fast you can get it out, how accurate you can get it out. And, they just so happen to blow that one up and not any other one. So,
cause it's interesting, but
it's a fun drill, to work on, accuracy, not using the laces. And also just being, getting your feet up under you and working those throws. So.
So when people say it's some indication of what's happening to you at camp, what do you, say about that?
I just laugh at it. It's, I look at them and I laugh at them, as always. You know, we actually have a rule in our QB room is that if you miss the board, you have to do some, something funny or something like that. Or miss the net, you have to do something funny. So we've had some competition, in those areas also. So it's just, something fun, something competitive. And, I was competing and it was, I missed it. And, it was a fake anger that I had that I showed because, that's what, you're competing with your friends and something like that happens. You give a little, maybe.
Didn't look fake to me. It looked like he was frustrated with his performance, for the record.
Be a little, a few words that you may say, or choice words after losing to your buddies.
Okay. Couple of things. One is one of the reasons why, for those of you that don't know, the Caleb Williams body language might be something that people are focusing on is because last year when he was getting beat up on the field, he was photographed on the sidelines. You can go ahead and Google this yourself and look it up. Laying on his side, looking straight up in the sky, looking completely defeated, completely bewildered. And it was pointed out by hundreds of analysts, lots of former players. You can't do that. Go watch any given Sunday if you want to know about how important the role of the quarterback is on the field. You ain't no quarterback. You're a goddamn quarterback. Field general's got to act like ain't nothing wrong, and we're going to get him 100% of the time. We got to endurance this bitch. Yeah, I know we're stuck in this sludge in Antarctica, but we're going to get out. And then we're going to traverse Antarctica, and then we're going to get into a boat, and we're going to go to Elephant Island, and then the rest of us are going to get into a boat, and we're going to go across the Drake Passage, and we're not going to miss that whaling station, and we're going to come back. And the only way it's going to work is if the top man, the head G, doesn't blink. Caleb Williams already has a history of having suspect body language. It's something. It's not nothing. Especially when an entire multi-billion dollar franchise is riding on his shoulders. And this is the season. This is year two. This is when these guys step up. And there's a new head coach, and there's new players, and they've invested in areas that help make his job easier. But those expectations still rise and fall with the quarterback. And that's why they get the $50 million a year guaranteed. It's why they get all the MVPs. It's why they get all the endorsements. It's why they're the ones selling the fucking Gatorade. Right? So for him to be curious as to why they isolated that, well, bro, your body language sucked. And it wasn't like you were doing this in your garage of your house on Friday night. You're at training camp. There's a million cameras on you. There's fans. Everybody saw it. The first thing Bears fans are going to talk about is, oh, holy shit. That's not how a leader looks. That's not how they act. Florio or anybody else saying, well, yeah, when I fucking duff a golf shot or I fucking throw a gutter ball or I'm playing bags in a tournament and fucking slides off the side and I throw my hands up in the air, I scream the F word. Right. Has nothing to do with this. Nothing. And again, does this mean he's not going to be a good quarterback? Does this mean he's not a good leader? I don't think so. But it's what you want to see is progress. I remember every class I had in high school is if I got a D in the first quarter, I'm like, all I got to do is get a C in the fourth quarter and I'm going to get through this shit. And it was the truth. All anybody wants to see is all of us moving in the right direction. When you go to the doctor, when they yell at you, when they yell at me, why haven't you lost weight yet? We talked to you about this. One time I went in there, I was down 7 pounds. 7 pounds, it was 6 months in between when I went. They threw a fucking party. Oh, this is progress. You're moving in the right direction. We all just want to see you moving in the right direction. Especially if you need to resuscitate a franchise. As opulent with his and as many fans as the Chicago Bears have. So that's why it's a big deal. And that's why I don't think this is a stupid, nitpicky sports talk topic. There's lots of them. First and foremost being whenever a player unfollows the team on Instagram, I could give two shits. It means about as much to me as the Madden rating. Now, Terry McLaurin asking for a trade don't mean shit to me. He's not going to get a trade. They're going to get that deal done. Micah Parsons being at camp, nailing his fucking grievances to the wall of the Lutheran church on Instagram and saying, peace, I'm out, and then leaving camp, also him being kind of crazy, that means more to me, despite what Jerry Jones says. Most of the time, that is politicking behind the scenes. You know, a player using everything they can to try to get the best position a conversational position with their contract in regards to their contract. They don't have a lot of bullets in the chamber. Organization usually has all the power, especially when they're already under contract. So that shit makes a little bit more sense to me. This, though, is a continuation of an issue that was happening last year. So I understand why the press is covering it. And I don't hate his answer. I don't hate his answer there. As long as he understands, everyone's watching all the time. It doesn't matter if the media blew that one up on you. Everyone's always watching. You got however many fucking fans with X accounts and phones are there. That's how many reporters you have watching on you. Steve Ale, $9.99. Thank you so much for the super chat. We do accept super chats on this.
I'm butt-sized.
Butt-sized for $9.99. I listened to the Fortress Film Society this morning. It was fantastic as always. Thank you, sir. Yes, if you are listening to this for free on the Chad Dukes Show Poor Edition feed, we do a show bi-weekly, I think, called the Fortress Film Society. We had a really good one this week where we did farcical movies. We did Don't Be a Menace to South Central. We did Scary Movie 2, and we did Airplane 2. So I really enjoyed that one too, Steve, and I'm glad you did as well. Thank you so much for the super chat. Hit the like. All right. I did want to go over Clay Travis's dildo tweets. Let me pull that up. And we're not going to get political here. I know a lot of people don't like Clay Travis. I think he's a smart guy. He's always been good to me. I got offered a job right after I got canceled by his people, and for some reason I turned it down. And then, of course, he went on to be one of the biggest conservative and sporting voices in the world. It's just the way that it goes. Life ain't fair, and the world is mean. But this story is somewhat interesting about what's going on in the WNBA, about people throwing dildos onto the court. And look, I'm not ever going to defend people throwing shit onto a court, onto a field, anywhere, because I really don't like fans. We talk a lot about entitlement in this country, and fan entitlement is enormous. I bought a ticket, so I get to say these horrible things to, you know, these athletes that really don't have any impact on my life at all. You know, I can, the part where they were throwing popcorn on NBA players, like there's some give and take here. One is we can all agree that a lot of, specifically it seems to be basketball players, are very overdramatic when it comes to fans doing shit like this. They call it assault, they call it all this shit, and it comes off as soft. What I will agree it is that it's a we can't possibly know what it's like to sit there in our pajamas and be surrounded by 20,000 people, a lot of which have bad shit to say upon you. It's got to be kind of, I don't want to say eerie. Ron Artest certainly didn't seem to have any fear of it, but it's not a normal thing. They're sitting on the floor. Football games, people aren't sitting on the floor. Baseball games, people aren't sitting on the floor. Basketball's different that way. It's more intimate with the audience. So I can understand them feeling some kind of way about shit flying out of the stands. I do too. I don't like it. When fans were throwing shit into the fucking ring for months after Hogan joined the NWO, it's like, you're just using this as an excuse to throw shit into the stands, or from the stands into the ring. I remember, I always use this example, the O.J. Simpson verdict, when I was in high school, Lake Braddock Secondary School, the verdict was coming down, they had the TVs on in every classroom, anybody my age remembers this shit, and I remember kids saying, if he's found innocent or guilty, we're staging a walkout, either one. Because they're not making no fucking political statement, they have an excuse to walk out. So for those of you that aren't aware of the story, I can't imagine you won't. People have been throwing green dildos onto the court at the WNBA games. And some people are very offended by it. Some people find it hilarious. But I guess Clay Travis had a Zoom call with people that purported to be some sort of green dildo I don't know. Green dildo mafia? How would you even describe it? This is what he said. This is a group that, I guess they're saying they're responsible for all this, and it isn't random, and it isn't isolated, and there's a reason behind it. And so I wanted to read these tweets because I was reading them last night after I'd had a few, and I found them hilarious. I just had a Zoom call with one of the green dildo leaders that was, this was his Zoom ID below, major revelations. And for those of you that aren't watching on YouTube, it appears to be an 8-bit digi avatar of a green dildo wearing sunglasses. And the chat name is Green Dildo. And I'll go ahead and read the rest of these tweets. These are from, I think, yesterday on at Clay Travis. Delbert Carver arrested in Atlanta was not the original WNBA dildo thrower. Everyone is baffled He confessed to a crime he didn't commit. The original green dildo thrower in ATL is still at large. Quote, we think either he was clout chasing or the police tricked him. We don't really understand what happened there. Continues. The WNBA was the initial green dildo target because they believe the WNBA was being forced down our throats. And they believe it was the funniest place to throw a green dildo. Continues. Last night, there were four different WNBA games with green dildo throwers in attendance. New York City came up short. LA hit the court. Phoenix arrested. And Seattle, not sure what happened there. There is no intent to injure or harm anyone. Goal is just to make people laugh. They love crypto and want to create a community that contains and entertains people with absurdity. Currently around 600 members. More green dildo sports antics to come. Stay tuned. What fucking times do we live in? This is Clay speaking, of course, of his own volition. I do not know any member names or identification details, but they did provide proof of dildo in advance of last night and about the baseball game tonight. So I'm confident these are the guys. They say they aren't intending to commit crimes and don't believe they have committed any crimes and will fight any charges in court if they are charged. I told them if they need lawyers, I would help them to retain defense counsel. He concludes with, at this interview and my reporting above does not win me a Pulitzer, there is no justice in this world. So a lot of this is very funny. And a lot of it I kind of understand. I do feel like the WNBA has been shoved down our... Well, I mean, you think about it, a league that doesn't make any money, having as many discussions about it as it does now, sometimes it can be tiresome. But is it shoved down our throats more than any other sport? Probably not. There's probably just less fans of it. As funny as this is, and I guess like a lot of the, you know, conservative bro dogs are championing this, you can't say you're not fucking, you don't want to harm it. You're throwing shit onto the court, regardless of whether or not the shit is hilarious. Yes, of course, there's going to be consequences. I don't know if just being a provocateur definitely has merit. It can impact social change. There can be, you know, the butterfly effect. You beat the wings for this event and it spawns somebody else to do something else. I don't know. It's such more of a complicated issue than I ever thought it would be for somebody throwing a fake dick onto a basketball court. But whenever there's a fucking life event or a mainstream story or sports or entertainment or whatever it is, where I don't immediately have a really strong opinion about it because I'm kind of stupid and I immediately like, this is the way I feel about it. Not a lot of data point gathering. I know it's a good one because it's making me think. Maybe for this one that doesn't apply because I don't think it's making a lot of people think. I think a lot of people just think dildos are funny. Throwing them. And the worst thing you could do, like the best thing you can do if you're the WNBA is handle this with humor, right? You can make your point that, hey, we can't have this because it's, you know, our players got to feel safe and they could hit somebody and they can throw this. What else would they be entitled to throw? They've been throwing octopuses onto the fucking ice in Detroit for as long as I've been alive, right? Shit ain't sacrosanct. But I think the second you let people know the shit's bothering you is when you're going to embolden them even further. And that seems to be what's happening right now. Officer Tom Friendly wants to know if they can finally get paid more if they put up with the green dildos. I don't know. If there's some sort of a bonus written into the contract. All right, look, if you laugh off these green dildos, you get an extra $50,000 a year. That could be motivating. But those tweets were highly entertaining after I'd had three or four glasses of Knob Creek last night after going to the Ultra Bean and Fairwinds. What a day. All right, we'll have to get to my burning cardboard story in a future episode. Tonight, for those few of you that are here right now, I assume you'll be here tonight. We will be back live Friday night. Solid Dudes, if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, make plans to go on over. YouTube.com/Chad Duke Show. We do a little program called Solid Dudes. Have some fun banana shtick for you tonight. That is at 7 p.m. on YouTube. So make plans to be there and hang out with us. Again, if you're enjoying this episode, please do be hitting the subscribe and the like and the share and the five star and all the shit that everybody begs for all the time constantly on the internet. And don't forget, CommonwealthDryGoods.com. Get your copy of Hot Men Shed. It has traumatized my life for months, so it's worth your $20. And then, of course, you can grab yourself a nice topper or a more amiable energy drink. All the fun stuff that we have over at CommonwealthDryGoods.com. Good Lord is willing, the creeks don't rise. I'll see you guys Monday on the Chad Duke Show. Subscribe on ChadDukeShow.com. Until that time, enjoy this turkey verse of ours, friendos. You helped to build it. Let it rip. And roll out the trash. Wave two.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.